I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. Join me for the next 15 minutes as I bring you a New Year's challenge. I've never been a big fan of New Year's resolutions. It seems to me that in a week or two they are forgotten and we are right back to the rut of mediocrity. On the other hand, if you don't aim at something, you'll hit nothing. Someone has said that the surest way to live disappointment-free is to have no expectations. I think the big problem with goals is that we make too many of them, and many of those are unrealistic. Many folks are like the guy who went squirrel hunting. After hours of walking through the woods, he found a tree with 12 squirrels in it. Sure enough, I'm going to have squirrel for supper, he thought. So he began shooting at the 12 squirrels. When the smoke had cleared, he found that he had not killed one squirrel, though he had shot at all of them. Friends, we are usually better off to focus on one squirrel, aim carefully, shoot accurately, and bag one squirrel than to try to get the whole lot of them. And that is true in almost any undertaking. I've seen folks during a week of revival go forward night after night, promising never to do that again, or to stop doing this, or to start doing that, and they plan to transform their life from top to bottom with a half dozen different commitments, but in a week or two, they're right back in the former rut. I encourage folks to never make more than one commitment during a week of revival, and that seems to work much better. What I'm saying is, this new year, make a reasonable goal, a realistic goal, an achievable goal, and a really needed goal. And when you've been the victor in that area, then you can worry about other areas. The question is, how do you determine which goal to set? How do you choose a realistic goal? And that brings us to our text in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustedst they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" That verse has always intrigued me. Let's look at the meaning, and then we'll make an application. Jeremiah had been reasoning with God concerning his ways, that is, God's ways. God had permitted the wicked to prosper while the righteous suffered. God intimated to him that he, that is, Jeremiah, must endure still greater trials, trials from false and deceitful brethren, and that still heavier judgments waited the nation of Israel for their sins. God went on to indicate that at length he would have compassion on them, restore them to their land, and turn his judgments against those that had oppressed them, unless, of course, those wicked oppressors became converts to true religion. Basically, Jeremiah has complained to the Lord that life is hard. God's answer back to him is that things are going to get harder. God said, "Look, if the infantry has tired you, what are you going to do when the cavalry comes? If you are exhausted during peacetime, what are you going to do when war is declared?" The unspoken lesson for Jeremiah is, you'd better get tough and you'd better master the basics because you haven't seen anything yet. Master the basics. Now there's a novel thought. I have loved baseball since boyhood. I have learned that winning teams practice the fundamentals. You have to hit and run, throw and catch. Those are the basics of baseball. Always get the sure out. Always go for the lead runner. Always watch the ball all the way into the glove and always watch the ball hit the bat. Make sure your foot's on the bag. Listen, teams that practice the triple play during spring training never win the pennant. The teams that win the pennant are the teams that practice the fundamentals. So what are the basic fundamentals of the Christian life? When folks first get saved, after we get past the public profession of their newfound faith, and after we get past following the Lord in believers' baptism, I usually go over five things with them. These five things are basic. They are the fundamentals. They are like hitting and running and throwing and catching. They are more like basic ground warfare with the infantry than fighting with the cavalry. Fighting the infantry is fairly basic. Fighting the cavalry is a lot more complicated. And if you can't beat a guy on the ground, it's not likely you're going to beat a guy on a horse. The trouble with many new Christians is that before they master the basics, they want to learn the specialty things like prophecy. They'll say something like, I want to understand prophecy and things to come, and what about the rapture and the tribulation, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and what about the battle of Armageddon and the millennium, and etc. You get the idea. Listen, before you study Daniel and Revelation, you need to master the basics. So what are they? Let me give them to you as I would give them to a new convert. And may I say that any one of these five things would make an admirable New Year resolution. First of all, here's the first one, simple enough, go to church. In Acts chapter 2, the scripture says, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Years later, the writer of Hebrews exhorted scattered believers with these words, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Those early disciples were encouraged, yea, they were constrained, to go to church. If you want 2011 to be a dynamite year, my advice to you is to find a good Bible-believing church and go to it. Get faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, go every time the doors are open and see if God doesn't bless your life. Listen, my friend, if you can't make yourself drag your lazy hide out of bed and go to church on Sunday morning, it's not likely you're going to do anything else very complicated or hard for God either. If you can't go to church, you won't quit bad habits either. If you can't go to church, you won't have the headship of your home either. If you can't go to church, you won't bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord either. Going to church is the least thing you are asked to do for God. So I say again, go to church. Number two, read your Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's His communication with you. It's your instruction manual for this life. It's His mind concerning every area of your life. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that you, my friend, might be mature and furnished to live a victorious life for Him. The Bible declares God's righteous standard. When we miss that righteous standard through disobedience and sin, the Bible reproves us. It convicts us. When we are convicted of sin, the Bible tells us how to get it right. Then when we've gotten it right, the Bible instructs us so that we learn not to make the same mistakes again. We are to read the Bible and just let God talk to our hearts. Then we're to study it to make sure that we're fitting all the pieces in the right places. Then we need to memorize it. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Then we need to meditate on it. That is, like a cow ruminates her cud. You and I need to ruminate the Word of God. And as we dwell on it in meditation, it has the maximum optimal benefit to our souls. Number three, we need to pray. Now, God has promised to answer our prayers, but there are some conditions. He is not like a genie in an Aladdin's lamp who says, "Your every wish is my command." In John 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Condition number one is that we abide in the Word of God in such a way that it conforms our desires into His desires. Then in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, John tells us, If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Condition number two is that we ask according to His will. Now, there are other conditions too, but mostly we fail to get prayers answered because we either don't ask at all or because we ask for the wrong things. James said in his epistle, "Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." The bottom line is, prayer is an integral part of the Christian life. If you don't go to church, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, then don't be surprised if you're continually defeated in your attempts to be a good Christian. Number four, we need to give. The Scripture speaks about two principles, tithing and giving. The tithe is just what the word means, 10% of what God has given you. This consecration of 10% of your income is basically your acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, then you also believe that He gave you 100% of what you have. In gratitude and in acknowledgement of His Lordship, we are to give Him not only 10%, but the first 10% as a token that He is Lord. In addition, we're challenged to give. Now, it's my personal belief that we really haven't given Him anything until we've given Him the tithe. Finally, we need to witness. A witness tells what he has seen and heard. That's all there is to it. It isn't really complicated. We are commanded to tell others that Jesus saved us. He saved us by coming to this earth, walking among men, living a sinless life, taking our sins upon himself, and dying in our place. He rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and saves all those who repent of their sin and receive Him as Lord and Savior. There are many techniques in soul winning that can be learned that will make us more effective witnesses, but basically, a new convert can tell others that Jesus saved him. So there you have it. Five basics. Go to church. Read your Bible. Pray. Give. And witness. This is infantry warfare. Don't try taking on the cavalry until you've learned to fight on the ground. Don't try making a triple play until you've learned to play catch. Don't try to eat a steak until you've mastered a bottle. I challenge you, choose one of these basics and decide right now that 2011 is the year that you'll go to church faithfully, that 2011 is the year that you'll read your Bible daily, or that 2011 is the year that you'll pray regularly, or that 2011 is the year that you'll give God the tithe, or that 2011 is the year that you'll tell others about Christ. My friend, I pray that 2011 will be the best year of your life. May God bless you. And by the way, you still have time to make it to church on time this morning. Amen. God bless you.
Listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312 or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.